This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
It's me! I know, you missed me. It's been a whole week since... Look at the 2 weekends in a row that I'm... Well, it's not quite the weekend, but 2 weeks in a row that I'm actually getting to be with you. Doesn't that make you feel better? I know, because we've had so many times of... It's been 2 weeks. Sometimes, hopefully, I don't think I've had any 3 weeks in a row, but I want to be back weekly, and as I've been telling y'all, I'm about to start a new career, and I'm working full-time again. And I hope everything is be going back to normal. I'm going back to pre-COVID days where I think I can get a show together every week. But well, I got to get used to the schedule. But my plan is to have a show every week throughout October because I have fun stuff to talk about. It's October. And I had a guest I had planned on having and things have just not worked out. So we might not have as much information on Rankin Bass as good old Jonathan Johnson over at Diz Radio has, but we're going to do the best we can because mad monster party. Philip and I watched it here in Lost Boy. Phil is here. Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
So we are going to discuss the mad monster party here because that is our first kickoff to Halloween. I've got a lot of other plans for some other stuff for Halloween, some more fun to have. So stay with us. Keep with us every month, but we've got so much stuff to geek out about. My gosh. And you heard about DC fandom, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward.
Oh, well, it already happened.
Well, I realize that, but I mean, I'm looking forward to all the DC stuff they're going to do. Yeah. You bet.
Now, see, I'm more of a Marvel guy, so I don't think I got quite as excited.
Well, I like both. You know that. Yeah. I always compare to Elvis and the Beatles, you know? I'm more of an Elvis man than a Beatles man, but I like both.
We got some Beatles stuff to talk about, too, brother.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes.
I'm glad I used that.
I wish I could play the trailer for you when we get there, but I can't because it's a lot of Beatles music, and I don't want a copyright strike.
So. Oh, yeah.
But, oh, there's some great Beatles news out there, which we kind of knew about. I'd heard about it before I mentioned it, but it's coming up so close.
Good.
So close. It's almost right beside you like I am creeping and stalking behind you because it's Halloween time.
Don't give me nightmares.
I'm in your head.
That's scary enough.
I'm in your head. Okay. So the first thing we like to do is what I like to call some host chatter, which, of course, we like to ask the questions. What have you been watching?
Go ahead.
So now, of course, I will mention I'm still, and we were talking about this earlier, still watching Star Trek: The Next Generation, going through with it. And oh, I love that show because especially when I come across an episode that I actually don't remember ever seeing.
I love
that show with every new episode even more. That was because that's, you know, because when I was a kid, they had I think it might have been part of the whole thing, but I remember watching He-Man in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'd have the 1960s Batman, and then Star Trek would come on.
Mm-hmm.
I could never get into Star Trek because it really wasn't aimed at kids. That old Star Trek is very thoughtful. And I didn't get so much into Star Trek, but I saw Wrath of Khan, I was like, ooh, that's pretty good.
Great
but I didn't quite understand all of it until later.
Yeah.
So, but I never really got really into Star Trek. And so, and even when Next Generation was like, oh, goodness, another Star Trek series. My goodness, that'll probably be boring. Mm-hmm. But then I went ahead and watched one. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is so cool. And so The Next Generation was my gateway drug to really get in.
Yeah.
And I started watching more of the movies. I'm like, oh man, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
Because even the only run of the other movies besides Wrath of Khan that I had seen was that fifth one where they have, like, well, I guess he's supposed to be one of Spock's relatives that tries to take him to meet God.
Brother, his half brother.
We went down to some relatives I have in Lebanon, and it's where they have the one theater in town. And they had to wait for. like 3 months before a movie that was a mainstream movie got into their theater. And so my cousin and my uncle were, you know, my uncle down there, he's a huge sci-fi guy.
Yeah.
So they were super excited, a new Star Trek movie. And so we all went to go see the Star Trek movie. And I was like, well, other than I did love the beginning when Kirk was trying to climb up the cliff. And I believe it's Bones and Spock or something up on the shoes or the boots that fly up to him. I mean, it had some good funny moments. And like, I know this ship like the back of my head, bong, you know, had some good funny moments. But that was just, it wasn't enough to pull me in. But the Next Generation, man.
Poor William Shatner, he directed that movie.
Yeah. And William Shatner has now, well, I don't know if you call it space. They got they only got up to where you're at zero G. I mean, he didn't fully penetrate out to go into flat out orbit, but he was up enough to where he's zero G's.
Yeah, technically he was there.
So and technically he's there.
Was a little rocket spaceship,
he wasn't full on in orbit, but he was up there.
Yeah.
And see, now here's what's funny. Okay, because I don't remember which one of the two. It's like Jeff Bezos and the Tesla guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That guy. They've been competing with their commercial space companies.
Sure.
And I think it was the Tesla guy. He got his up there, and he was going to have the oldest person who'd ever been in orbit. And it was actually, that was like some old astronaut that had... he had not gotten to go up for something or something like that. So he was like, well, you're going to get a chance to go up. And now you're the oldest person to ever go into orbit. So then I think this was Jeff Bezos from Amazon. His thing's like, oh, yeah, well, you know who's older than that? William Shatner.
How can you beat that? I mean, kudos
to poke in the eye, man.
Kudos to the astronaut. Obviously, I don't want to take anything away from that.
And but that's fair. It was really great for him to finally get to go up. I watched that entire launch. That one's streaming.
That's great.
And the look on the guy's face is like, I'm finally, you know.
That's wonderful.
I was going to cry.
Shatner cried.
And, of course he did.
And was rightly so.
Yeah.
He got to do it. And he spoke about Leonard Nimoy and
Leonard would have loved it too.
Oh, he would have loved it if they could have did it together. That would have been great.
Especially get all three of them.
That would have been great.
DeForest Kelly.
And I love William Shatner. You know, and I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. I love William Shatner very, very much, and I want to give him a salute because something he did for me that I'll never forget.
Oh yeah.
That I had gone through the brain surgeries and everything I've gone through. And I heard he was going to be in town for Comic-Con. And I had been in the hospital for a month. And I've gone through a lot of them. Anyway, I came out of that for a whole month. Got to go. And
I had to cart around in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I was in a wheelchair. Yeah. Him and my other friend, James. I come out of it. I said, I'm going. So I went. And there it was, still with staples in my head and everything else. Mm-hmm. Went wearing a Captain Kirk jacket and the yellow one and everything else. I went there, and William Shatner and them, by the way, William Shatner and them, they didn't even charge me.
No.
For absolutely nothing. They took me in and allowed me to get my picture with William Shatner. And I love and appreciate William so much for that.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite guys. He's my captain. Hey, I love Picard too, okay?
Oh,
but
yes.
He's my captain. Captain, my captain. I love him for it. Yeah. Always will. I'm so thrilled he got to go up there. That's great.
He's your number one guy.
That's right.
I love him. So it was really pretty. I like that people were actually playing with the colors of the suits.
Yes.
They were all wearing blue, but people were messing around and putting him in his Captain Kirk colors and putting everybody else in red.
Yeah, that's great.
It was like, maybe somebody should tell them. I think some people thought that was the real uniform.
Yeah,
I was like, no,
that.
When you see I had already seen the pictures. We're all wearing the blue and stuff.
Yeah.
But that was still cute.
Yeah.
Something else though that I was watching this week, and you might remember this movie, and I realized something watching this movie. The Burbs.
That's
Peacock.
A fun film, yeah.
And which, even though, you know, we're using a paid subscription to Peacock, I had to watch ads for some reason in that.
Oh, yeah.
Some
shows I do.
But The Burbs, I'd only seen it once before. Heather had never seen it and everything, getting to watch it. But, and I think Joe Dante directed it, and I think he directed Innerspace as well. Because you do have a couple actors from Innerspace.
Yeah,
you have,
that's a good show.
Wendy and the store manager from the grocery store in Innerspace are both in it. But I noticed something. You know, when Tom Hanks used to do comedies, and even when he still does comedy with Toy Story, I think he really got the role because he is almost like, you know, like Barney Fife could be really funny at being the nervous and freaking out.
He's good in
Tom Hanks
overboard,
would be great with his crazy. He would always have this flip out moment that was just hysterical.
I think... when he goes overboard, if you want to call it that, goes crazy. He did the same thing with Turner and Hooch.
Yeah. That's it. I'm getting my gun.
Yeah. There's something about him just losing his mind, if you will. I love it.
And then the money pit when everything
the money pit,
the tub or whatever crashes through there, and he just cracks up laughing.
He did it even in Family Ties when he played their uncle.
Oh yeah, he was good in that.
Yeah, too. He became a drunk in the show.
Yeah,
but he was. It was because there's something about someone who is on the board, on that borderline of going crazy, and the comedians have a way of being serious and funny all the same time. Michael Keaton used to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
He was
his stand-up was actually not bad.
Oh, it was great.
I've seen some footage.
He was good at it. There's something they could be serious. They could be great. That's the best part because they're on that borderline.
And Michael Keaton had that great dry delivery in his movies.
Yeah,
when he was doing comedies,
yeah.
He had that great dry, and he's got those expressive eyebrows that he can do. It's just so good. Which really worked great for Batman. He had that moment when he's like, Batman Returns.
Come
I think
on.
Even there's like that one thing where he kind of when Selina Kyle in Batman Returns kind of pulls that gun, you say it reminds you of your brother Matthew. I remember you told me once where his eyes and he's darting back and forth like she just pulled a gun out.
Well, he is outstanding.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, we got some stuff to talk about him too, brother. Too. Now, by the way,
now what else are you watching right now?
Well, that was the thing. It was like, I'm still on the Burbs, but I was the other thing like Tom Hanks. Oh, hi kitty cat. I got a kitty just jumped on my lap. Yes, okay, you can sit in my lap. Just have to be good. But Tom Hanks, even in Toy Story. He has a freak out moment. You are a toy.
Oh, yeah.
You are a child's plaything. He's so good at that.
Yeah. And he has some of his serious roles as well.
Yeah.
Not
he's good
Gump.
As a serious actor.
Not in Forrest Gump or anything like that or anything. But in some of the other ones, he does Castaway, of course. You know, in some of those moments, he kind of goes obviously.
Wilson.
Yeah, he kind of has to. I mean,
but that's more dramatic.
Dramatic. Yeah,
that's not funny.
Not funny. Yeah.
Because for some reason, we felt it too. Like Wilson was real to us.
If you ever go through any kind of psychological thing,
Cat, you need to quit climbing around and
you
just
kind of do those emotional.
You're gonna fall here. I'm gonna put you on this chair.
You kind of go through those emotional moments. Oh, it's there, just how it is. Just how it is.
Yeah. Sorry, all the folks about the cat. When I sit down, our smaller cat loves to sit in she likes to curl up in between my legs. And when we sit down at these chairs, she thinks she can fit in there too, but she doesn't fit so good. And she doesn't sit still because she can't get herself. She can't wedge in between my legs because there's not much chair there. And so she just wiggles around and she can't sit still. So that's what all that was, folks.
Now, as far as what I'm watching right now.
Yeah, because I think I've got everything that I need to say about the Burbs. Yeah.
As far as what I'm
watching
right
now. It's good. And if you have Peacock, you should go watch it. It's a great old movie.
I'm watching several shows right now. I'm watching Cosby Show.
Oh, indeed.
And I'm watching, and that's a good old sitcom. I'm watching.
Whatever y'all think about Bill Cosby and what he's done.
Yeah, it's still great.
He still has produced some great entertainment.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to watch a Bill Cosby movie. It's a horrible movie, but my brother
bought it. Leonard Part 6?
Yes.
I love that terrible movie.
Yeah, it is. My brother bought it for me for my birthday, and he told me I have to watch it. He goes, don't make me waste my entire dollar. I said, I won't. I'll do it for you.
I've seen that movie multiple times.
Oh, it's terrible.
Admit.
And it's terrible. It's one of those terrible movies that are fun to watch because they're so bad. And then I've been watching Major Dad, which has been fun. And I've also been watching Sanford and Son, and that's been fun. I don't know if you ever used to watch Sanford and Son.
I've watched, I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen quite a bit. This is the one.
That's it. Yeah.
And then
Smith, I'm coming home.
I'm coming home to you. Yes. And then that nasty old woman that hated him.
Oh, yeah. I haven't got to her yet, but because I'm starting from the beginning.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize she wasn't there in the beginning.
Not the very beginning, but he said others. And his son is funny.
Yeah, Lamont.
He just had a birthday in real life. But yeah,
he's still alive.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
I know old Red Sanford.
Yeah,
Fred Sanford was the character, but Red.
Red Skeleton.
No, Red Skeleton.
Red,
somebody else.
Red. Dang it. I usually remember it right away.
Oh, and his comedy.
Red
Fox. His comedy. He's funny, but he's filthy.
Yeah.
Ooh, he was filthy.
Yeah, but he was, luckily, he couldn't do that on television.
You're right.
If you can't do this on television.
You can do it on television now.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, you couldn't then, and you shouldn't be able to now.
And what happened about you can't do that on television? I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of you got that joke. Some of you got that joke.
Here's the slime. Boom.
Here's the slime, right?
Slime time.
That's right.
We got acorns falling on the ceiling, y'all.
And then I think that's about it as far as what I'm watching right now. I'm going back and forth. Although I have watched a few Halloween cartoons.
Oh, yes. And we, in fact, watched one we're going to talk about later, which I already previewed, Mad Monster Party. Mm-hmm. It's a Rankin Bass. They actually did make some Halloween shows.
Yeah. I don't know about a whole lot, but they did do some.
They did do some. And we watched one.
In fact, there's one that they did. And I'm pretty sure.
Save it for when we talk about later, though.
Ouch.
I was just previewing for later.
Oh, I was going to say, okay, we'll get to this.
Keep that thought. Keep that thought, but save it for later. So now the question is, what have you been playing? And for those of you, I don't have that many people on it yet, but I have the Narrowland official gaming channel that I've been doing Scare Play 2021, where I'm playing scary games, although I haven't played one today because I'm working, pardon me, drinking water. When I work on the show for a day, I sometimes don't get a chance to sit and play. And so when I don't get it recorded on the weekend and so I haven't played anything today, but I think what I might do later, and we'll see if y'all watch the YouTube channel, maybe I'll make Philip play a scary game that he's never played before. And that might be fun later. But I finished Alien Isolation.
Ah, it's pretty good.
Finally. It's intense.
Ah.
It's intense.
I haven't.
Because I saw Aliens long before I saw Alien.
Yeah.
Aliens, it's a little scary, but it's more of like an action horror.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an adventure, a thrilling adventure like Jurassic Park. But the original Alien is straight up suspense scary. Yeah.
I want to watch Aliens with my nephew. I had him watch Alien and he loved it, but he was terrified too.
Of course. That has some terrifying moments.
And he was really in it. And I noticed, I would never say this to him personally, and he won't hear this, so I'll be okay. But, he put his legs up. I noticed at one point.
You had pulled him up under the couch.
I noticed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything, but I noticed that he was getting into it.
Well, imagine that you were one of them characters.
Oh, man.
That's what this game is like.
Oh, cool.
You're playing Amanda Ripley.
And oh. So
you hear that, this an android comes in and says, hey, there's a ship that's docked over at the space station that says they found the Nostromo.
Ooh.
And we found the recording box that has all the journals on it, so we can finally find out what happened to your mother. So we want you to, the company wants you to be able to come over. Because one of the things with aliens, the companies are so corrupt and nasty.
They stink. They're terrible.
But it's like they want you to be able to come. They figure they owe it to you so you can find out what happened to your mother, Ellen.
So this is supposed to be her daughter, basically?
This is her daughter.
Oh, okay.
And this happens in between Alien and Aliens. But, this is before, but you do get a kind of a look that the company, as Paul Reiser's character shows you, they knew full well what they had. And they, because you get onto the space station and it's already been destroyed. And as typical, it is put in television shows, movies, and games, when some sort of apocalyptic thing happens, humans turn on each other. They go survival mode and they turn against every other human except for the people that are in their little clique.
Yeah.
So you've got that going on. You've got the androids on board that have gone into full murder bot mode. And in the process of this, there's an alien stalking you.
Yes.
And it can hear you.
Oh, I gotta see
that. And depending upon the intensity level of the difficulty level, and you can even set it up to where, because the PS4 has a little microphone in the controller.
Sure.
Right? You can turn that on if you really want to. Or if you have a headset on, you can turn it on to where it can hear you breathe. And if you say something too loud, it'll hear that. And it'll get you. I turned that off because I was going to be talking into a microphone because I was doing a live stream. So I was like, no, that wouldn't be fair. But, not to spoil too much, but after you've dealt with the one alien and you think, oh, we're going to breathe again. You go to the core because you're trying to, reset the core on the space station. There's a flipping hive.
Oh, man.
And I got stuck in that hive for a while because trying to get out because there was face huggers everywhere and all kinds of stuff. And even when you deal with the hive, a bunch of the aliens come right on out of that hive and they're still running around that space station. You get a deal. Instead of now just having one stalking you, now there's a bunch of them stalking you all over the space station. And I finally got through it, but I'm not going to tell you what happens at the end. I wonder if I got a different ending than what you would, because I didn't do it at a super hard difficulty level. Because I wanted to get through and experience the story so I could share it all with you. But if you're all for an intense bit of fun, come over to the Scare Play. I also played The Evil Within, which I thoroughly enjoyed that one as well. But oh my gosh, Alien Isolation has some seriously intense moments when you hear that thing stomping around and you're ducking behind something, say, please don't see me. And I don't even know how the thing sees or smells or hears because it has no ears. It has no eyes, but it has that weird. I think the dome of their head must have sensors or something. Yeah. And it knows where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it wants to eat you. Not really. It wants to mount you on the wall and harvest you.
Yeah.
But it'll kill you multiple times. But at one point, as part of the story, you do get mounted on the wall.
Yeah, wow.
I feel like I'm spoiling something. But yeah, I got to a point where I thought I had finished the game. I was like, yes, that's the last task I needed to do. I'm escaping. And then, hi, there it is. cinematic. And oh, look, where are we, Amanda? Oh, we're stuck to the wall. Oh, look, there's an egg right there. We better get off this wall. Because y'all know what happens when they stick you to the wall with an egg nearby. Mm-hmm. You're That's being right. there for reproduction.
That's right.
Thankfully, I never had to come across a queen because I don't know what I'd have done. I'd have been like, where is that construction machine? But yes, so come on over to the Neverland Official Gaming Channel. And watch me freak out trying to play Alien Isolation. I spent, when I first had the alien showing up, I spent so much time hiding in the locker because any little noise, I didn't know if it was right outside.
And he's not talking about the game. He's talking about in real life.
Yeah, sure. I went and ducked under the couch. So, but that's the thing is, you know, I've gotten so used to survival horror games that I don't really get scared by them. But it's when you're trying to win and you're trying to not have your character die, it still creates that intensity. You're like, oh, man, I don't want to get that, you know. But I get to where when it catch me, you'd hear me a lot of times like, ah, dang it. Instead of some people going like, ah, but I was like, dang it.
Yeah.
Because I'm more like gaming mode. So, but yeah. So after I finished that, I've started up Resident Evil Code Veronica X because that's one of the games in that series. It's not part of the main series, but I've never actually finished it. Even though I've played a lot of it, I've never completed it. So I'm working on playing through that now, which hopefully I will finish by the end of October to complete Scare Play 2021. So come join me. We're having lots of fun playing scary games. And like I said, I think today I'm going to make Philip play, because you've never played a Resident Evil game before. I might.
No, I can't do them very well. Part of it is my eyes won't allow some of it to focus on it, and I just can't do it as well.
No, because I thought maybe the remake of Resident Evil,
I may be able to do a little bit. I always try to do some games.
I at least got to get you.
I'm not a gamer like others, but I do try to play some games.
Yeah.
I play with my nephews. I play video games when they come over. We Call of Duty.
Lots of Call of Duty.
And they love that.
Lots of Fortnite.
In fact, I'm looking for it. Yeah, I play Fortnite with my nephew because he loves that. So I play with him and he enjoys that. And then I play wrestling games. But I don't play as much as I used to because I study a lot. I do a lot of studying the Bible and all.
Yeah, kind of with a pastor, being a pastor, you kind of have to make sure you know the word.
Yeah, I know the word. And I do a lot of studying.
Even despite somebody on Facebook was trying to tell you didn't know stuff. And you're just you got to have been rolling your eyes.
Yeah, you know. And then, because I'm not a flat earther. I'm just not that.
Right. And then, because we study the Bible and not crazy theories.
That's it. So, and by the way, I'm not insulting you if you I go by the word. Yeah. Anyway, so when it comes to the games and all, I still enjoy wrestling games because I can create and I like to create. I like to draw and all. So I create, and then I enjoy doing some of the Call of Duty because sometimes I'm stressed out. So
Call
I enjoy just
getting to shoot some people.
Yes, and that's kind of fun to do. And I love the backgrounds that you get to see.
Yeah, especially really in that one that we'll be playing this in the 80s and we're in the mall. Yeah, that's fun.
There's a new one coming out that I'm getting ready to get in November because I already paid for it. And it'll it'll be World War II, but it's
another World War II.
It's going to be in Japan.
Ooh,
and it's going to be a lot with it. I don't think it's just World War II though. From what I've seen, there's going to be some a little bit of maybe Korean, but I know that it's. I could be wrong on that, but it looks like there's going to be quite a bit to it.
Ooh.
And so
I did enjoy that other World War II when they made that. So when they redid, because they started with World War II, but I love when they went back to it. That was a great game.
So I'll be honest
with you,
Band
of Brothers.
I paid the extra so that I
could
not just get the game, but get all the extra details, all of it, because I want to get it all. I love playing.
I'm having fun playing with my voice in this thing.
I love playing with all the extra doodads, I always call it. And when people come over, because to be truthful, you know, I enjoy the story of it. What I get out of it the most is whenever you can hunt each other down or team up with each other. That's what I love the most.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's a blast.
It's fun.
So I enjoy the games.
Batman. Okay, sorry. I've been having too much fun because I'm trying to keep close to my microphone and talk a little quietly so I don't pick up on Philip's microphone so bad.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying it a little too much.
You might be right.
Indeed. I sound more like Batman right now than I did Robert Pattinson sounds like Batman, but I'll get into that later. Yeah, there was a whole thing there. But anyways, it's time for us to get into some news. Happy, happy music.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
Now, you've never gotten to play any Animal Crossing, but I think I've shown you some Animal Crossing
on
the Switch.
You might have, but it sounds familiar, but I don't think I've ever played it, no.
Animal Crossing New Horizons, it's I don't know how many games in that series they've made so far, but they had this really fun video on the 15th, where they announced all the fun new stuff. They're basically calling it Animal Crossing New Horizons 2.0. The last free update is going to have some returning characters. There's a museum there in Animal Crossing where you can, because you can collect fossils, and when you catch fish and bugs, you put them in the museum. They're going to put an expansion in the museum, because if you go to a museum, they frequently have a like restaurants.
I remember it now, yes.
Or something, but they're going to put in a coffee shop.
Huh.
And so they have a character named Brewster that he's going to be in there. And that's funny, Brewster.
Because
he's
making coffee.
I see. So you can go and buy coffee and you can sit there and have your friends meet you online to sit around and drink coffee. You can meet with your island friends.
I remember you showing it to me. It was almost kind of a Disney World-ish looking thing.
In a way, because everybody's an animal but you.
Yeah.
It's very cute. It's very light. It's very fun. It's very relaxing. So you're going to get this whole new thing. You can also invite specific characters using, guess what? The Animal Crossing Amiibo figures. So Nintendo's finding a way to give us your money.
What a shock.
Give us your money. Because Nintendo is the greediest company, I swear, because they do not lower the prices on their older games.
That's not cool, though.
Yeah, and they want you to pay way too much for Mario and stuff like that, so you really got to want it. You got to want it. And they know that you want it, so they'll get you.
Well, as Christmas comes closer, hopefully they will drop a little.
They don't.
Yeah,
even if you go and buy a used Mario game, you're going to pay full price.
Oh, that's not right.
It's not right. And it's because how Nintendo works things. But Harv's Island, which is a feature in Animal Crossing, which is normally you go and there's like a photo studio kind of thing, and you can set up whatever you want. You can bring whatever characters off your island and take fun photos. They're going to expand Harv's Island to where you can now pay to have, because from time to time on your island, these little different kind of shopkeepers show up, like traveling merchants. But you never know when they're going to be there. There's no schedule. They just kind of like, oh, look, goody. The person that sells the art that I need from the museum is finally here. What they decided to do with Harv's Island is you can go and pay for them to have a storefront on Harv's Island. So you can go to Harv's Island and go shopping for all the items that you want when you're trying to complete different things in your home. So that's a really good, that'll make things a lot easier to do stuff. They're working on the camera function. Because a lot of games, you know, they're really big on, you know, they have photo mode. And on Animal Crossing New Horizons, you have a phone, basically, and it's got a camera on it, and you're able to take snapshots of the screen. But they decided to expand that, and you can activate your phone and put it in a first-person mode. Which, to me, that would be fun. I could walk on my island first-person. I might just go around with the camera out. But you can go now and walk over to your people on your island, and they'll kind of smile and wave at your camera. And you can take a picture that way, like first-person view. And you can set it up as if you have it on a tripod, and you can walk over and be in the photo that way.
Oh, that's cute.
So, yeah, a lot of fun things for anyone who likes really taking a lot of the pictures. They got some new items and new customization. My wife has got a little worried that this is going to become a little too Farmville Stardew Valley.
I was going to say, it sounds almost like a Farmville-ish.
Except for they didn't do this before, but now they are. You can start planting vegetables.
Oh, I see.
So you can have a vegetable garden, and you can actually then start making recipes and making food items, which you can put out on as a decoration in your kitchen, or you can just eat it, and you get like energy boosts for, you know, doing stuff. But it's still kind of fun, and a lot of new items in the Nook Miles that you earn, you can buy. They're going to expand that store, so there's a lot of new things up there. KK Slider, everybody knows the little puppy dog, who's the best-selling artist of music and shows up on your island every Saturday once you've unlocked him to play a concert. He's going to have 12 new songs for him to play and for you to purchase to play, have playing on your island. 11 new gestures, 11 new hairstyles. In fact, there will be a hairstylist that will teach you new hairstyles for your characters over on Harv's Island. But also, they're going to have the Happy Home Paradise, which is a paid DLC. And this, at first I was like, I don't know. I mean, I didn't mind one, but you get a job and you fly over to this other island and you're setting up vacation resorts. They wanted to have a way, I guess, for you to be able to interact with more different types of animal characters other than the ones that show up on your island. So you're going to build vacation homes and decorate them and have some play around with that. So there's more custom design stuff you can do for making vacation homes to make the perfect little place. But all these design things you get over there, you can bring back to your island and you can do some more customization on your own home. So it does expand. But I wasn't really thinking, you know, $25 for that. Yeah, I don't know if I'm worried about it. But here's the other kicker. You can either pay $25 for that, or get it with the Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack. So I've mentioned this before. They're going to find, because for a while, with the Switch Online, you can play some old Nintendo games and some old Super Nintendo games. And it's just like $3.99. And you can go online. It's cheaper than any other thing. And I thought it was fan-flippantastic. And at first we did hear that they're going to have some Nintendo 64 games now available and Sega Genesis games that you can play on your Switch.
That's cool.
I thought it was all going to be that $3.99.
Yeah.
It's not. It's an extra cost. But I started looking at this. And let me go directly to the Nintendo site. I mean, I do have some stuff from CNET, but let me look at more. Nintendo's official website did have some of the pricing. If, as soon as it pulls up here. So the expansion pack, you can get, like, as right now, if with Heather and I, we're paying $3.99 each, so we can play it online. Sure. That allows us to play together on Animal Crossing. And Mario Kart, if she ever decides to play her copy of Mario Kart, or I bought her, but she... At first, it was nothing but Stardew Valley, and now it's nothing but Animal Crossing for her, so she'll never play Mario Kart with me. So, but it allows us to play together online, and for anybody else, you know, you can come play with me on Animal Crossing or Mario Kart. I'm trying to get a group together to play some Mario Kart. I'm working on that, too. But so there's a family package that was like $20-$30, something like that. Then it's up to 8 people can play. And that would be a deal if you had that many people. But just 2 of us, we're just paying $8 total. That's no big deal. Now, the funny thing is with this new expansion, with just 2 of us, if we buy the family pack for a year, it's cheaper than us doing it individually for a year. So now it's actually a good deal for us to do the family pack. So if you ever get a Switch, I might even let you borrow our code. I've noticed some people that they let people borrow the code. It's like, okay, but with the expansion now, you're going to have to start chipping in. They're telling people. But
probably never get a Switch, but yeah.
Well, you might. I don't know. You want to play some old Super Nintendo games.
Now that I enjoy.
Or play some old Nintendo 64 games or Sega Genesis games. But here's the thing. If you get the subscription to the expansion pack, they're going to give you the Animal Crossing DLC thrown in.
Yeah.
That's the deal. That's where they get me. I'm like, oh, hey, all right. I will get that DLC. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's what they do. They know what they're doing.
Because that would be both Heather and I getting it for our copy of the game. So, Nintendo, you got your hooks in me again. And plus, I've got some packet set up for like the PS4 where I've got some old Sega Genesis games, but... and I should have left that up there because they're going to have a full list of all the different games. But there's a lot of games for Sega Genesis I don't have. Of course, I got some of the key ones that I wanted to have. Like, you remember we used to play Bonanza Brothers all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Used to love that. But I'd love to have Desert Strike. We used to play that a lot.
I remember that, yeah.
Let me go look at some of these. They got a full list of the Sega Genesis games. Let me have a peek here. Peeky Poo. Is that okay? Here we go. So we got Sonic 2, Streets of Rage 2, Echo the Dolphin, Strider, which is kind of cool. They've re-released Castlevania Bloodlines. Awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of standards. Contra Hardcore, which I already have because I got a Contra set. Gunstar Heroes, never played. Golden Axe is kind of standard. Let's see. Included games. They're repeating themselves a lot. Shining Force, Rystar. A lot of this stuff is they've already released on other things. But this is just the start of things. And there will be more stuff later. I mean, here the photo, they even, Echo the Dolphin, which the latest thing that I got on the PS4 didn't have Echo the Dolphin. I've never actually completed that one, but it...
I remember that game.
Yeah, it's complicated to figure out what you're doing. But a lot of neat things coming with the Sega Genesis. And, of course, that's just the starting. They're going to keep expanding. They're going to have hundreds of Sega Genesis games eventually on there. Let's see what they say about the Nintendo 64, what we're starting out with here. Let's see. We've got... It'd be awesome if they put GoldenEye on there.
Oh, that was great.
That'd be so awesome. Right now, it looks like we've got Mario Kart 64, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Star Fox 64, Dr. Mario 64, Super Mario 64, Mario Tennis. I remember renting Tennis on the 64, and took me a while to get good at it, but then I was intense. I
could get into it. I tried, but I'm terrible at regular tennis, let alone a video game of it.
Yeah, it takes a while to get going, but let's see. We got Yoshi's Story.
Built into it, not in the game itself. I just could not get my timing right.
Once you got your timing down, you start getting fun. Something called Winback, Covert Operations, never heard of, and Sin and Punishment, which might have been in Japan only. But those are just the starting games. I'm sure they're going to have more because they've shown imagery of Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. But if they really want to make sure people subscribe, get the rights to GoldenEye back for Rare.
Yeah.
Because Rare, I think, started making stuff exclusively for Microsoft, maybe.
Yeah.
But if they can still get the rights to that GoldenEye game, put it on the Switch.
I was thinking just the other day about that game, GoldenEye, And there was something about that guy. It didn't have to look identical to the way it used to. You could put the new graphics and all. But that game was just, before its time, it was just so, man.
Yeah, there wasn't really, you know, you had Doom. Yeah, you had Doom.
Yeah.
But that was the first time you had a group of your friends could get together on one console and play a death match against each other. Was, like, other than, you know, other than Doom, where you had to have multiple computers. But being able to play together on a console... That was revolutionary.
In my opinion,
at the time.
That is what brought the Call of Duties, the everything else. I was telling
it
my nephews
owes
about
it. To GoldenEye.
I was telling my nephews about it, how GoldenEye really changed everything for me as far as the gameplay. It was fun to attack each other. Mm-hmm. It was fun because it was like
finding sniping locations.
You got me. Yeah, it was like you got, and I still do it to this day. Yes. There's something about the sniping area. Well, you know. And
you are a camper.
I am a camper. But part of it is, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, it's just that I'm not the best at going out there. Part of it is maybe it's just me, but when it comes to Call of Duty and all those other Rainbow Six, all that stuff, I hate when I'm playing with someone and they go out there like, well, I want to die and I'll just come right back. I'm more of a realistic guy where I don't like to think of, well, I'm going to go out there and be killed so I can just come right back to life in this other area. I just don't like to think that way, because if I was really, especially when I'm in a place like, let's say, D-Day, I think about these men who are really out there, and they weren't thinking, I'm just going to run out there in front of everyone and be
and
like Rambo.
Most people don't just run out, but you go and you find your little bits of cover, but you also try to be faster on the draw.
Yes.
You want to be out there hunting the bad guy.
I'm speaking of my nephews and people like that. They're just like, I'm just going to run out there. And they don't even try to do any kind of realism.
I'll try to be a little sneaky out, but I'm hunting for you.
Yeah, I'll go out there.
I'm coming to get you.
I'm not talking about when it's just one-on-one. But I'm talking about when they're taking on the groups.
Oh, when you got groups of it. Yeah, you got to end up in an open combat. And you better find some cover.
Yeah, they just want to kill the most they can, which is fine to each their own. But with me, I know I'm going to die, but I try to take out as many as I can while I'm trying to find some cover.
Yeah.
And so I try to get down, boom.
Get down, find your shots, and make them count. Try to be faster on the draw than the other guy. That's one of the things I've got good at, you know. And people who play on PC, that they love for the PC because they feel like they can aim faster with the mouse. And I can understand that. There are some games I've gotten used to PC. Like Borderlands, I can't aim very well with a stick on that one, but when I play it on the PC and it works great. But Call of Duty, I do pretty good. The Call of Duty works really well on a console stick, and I can aim really great on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They made it well.
They
for
did
that.
A good job for bringing that to console.
I used to play a lot of the other ones too, but I just, for, you know, not Fortnite. That was the wrong one. I can't think of the name of it right now. But anyway, they made a lot of good games, but Call of Duty is what I'm used to right now.
Yeah.
And pretty good stuff.
Yeah, they do a good job. Of course, in a way, they're recycling the same game over and over again. It's still good, though.
And they
it's
put a lot of good stories. If you do play the stories.
Yeah, the stories are really
interesting. They do a really great job. Yeah. They do. You know?
Yeah. But you know where it's time for us to go?
Where are we going?
The trailer park.
All right.
Mama, another gator got in the house.
Another gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mama. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
So Friday.
Thank you, Ma.
Friday, the hashtag or the trending things on Twitter was saying that people were losing it over hearing Robert Pattinson's voice for Batman. Yeah, the look on your face is like, that's exactly what I thought when I heard it. Now, the line they had given, because they were saying, oh, we're going to have a full trailer at DC Fandom on Saturday. And the line that they had was, you know, it's a good line. It's like, that's not just a signal. It's a warning. But it's okay. You hear my voice. I do not have a deep toned voice. And if you imagine me talking like this a little bit or trying to be a little gruff, that's kind of what he sounds like. Does not like talking like this.
Yeah.
Of course, that's not even use my full voice. That's just scratching, you know. But if I'd have to really bring it down to be a Batman, you know, and it doesn't sound like Robert Pattinson is getting there. But anyways, let's have a listen to the full official trailer for The Batman. So as it pulls up.
Police! Hands up! Stay still! Get out of here!
It's a tool. But when that light hits the sky, It's not just a call. It's a warning.
See, it's not bad, no. But it's not losing my mind over it. And he's really skinny.
First of all,
but
this is a powder keg, and Riddler's to match.
I can take care of myself.
If this continues, it won't be long before you've nothing left.
I don't care what happens to me.
It's only gonna get worse for you.
Whoa, take it easy, sweetheart. Hear everything they say, ain't you?
Maybe we're not so different. Who are you under there?
I'm Vengeance.
What's black and blue and dead all over? You. Dick.
I got you! I got you!
All right, so that's going to be March 4th. That's the Batman. Robert Pattinson is the new. I mean, how many times have we rebooted Batman now? But here's the mistakes. I mean, it looks like it might be a good movie. Yeah, it might be. Here's my problem.
March is interesting because I'm so used to it being like a June or July.
Yeah,
so
it should be a summer movie. Yeah. Now it's, well, you know what they used to say about spring movies is the one that the studio doesn't have any confidence in.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that's the case here.
Well, here's the mistakes I'm seeing. One of the things that kind of bogged down some of the earlier Batman movies is you started packing in too many villains. And here's what we've got: the Penguin. Now, granted, Colin Farrell is a tremendous actor, and you can't even recognize him.
Yeah, he did a good.
It's amazing what they did with him. You've got a Catwoman. I'm not familiar with that actress.
No, they did.
And you've also got a Riddler, which we're not seeing him really, you know, because I guess they didn't want him wearing question marks or anything. And I don't think they've even revealed the actor. They've not even shown the face of the Riddler.
I've seen who it is, but I don't know him.
I don't know that guy. Yeah. But so you've got three villains in there.
There's more than that, though.
Are there going to be more?
Yeah, but what they're doing, I say that. What I think they're doing is they're building up for other films.
Yeah. So some of these characters may have small parts. Like the Penguin might not have a big part. Catwoman's probably a love interest.
Matt McConaughey is going to be is Two-Face. Great actor.
Ooh, now that I can get into.
But
if he doesn't show up as Two-Face, he's not a villain in this one.
Yeah, exactly. What I say is it could be a buildup. So when I say he's Two-Face, even if he's Two-Face.
He could be Harvey Dent.
And even if he is Two-Face, maybe he's Two-Face for 10 minutes and he's going to be built up to put in another film. So that's why I'm not trying to throw much into it yet.
Yeah. But Robert Pattinson does not have, Christian Bale he's not a big man. I mean, he's in shape, and I'm sure Robert Pattinson got in some pretty good shape, but in the bat suit, he looks kind of skinny. His neck looks kind of skinny. I do love looking at the mask that it has. It almost looks like a leather cowl that's like stitched together. It looks neat up close.
From what I've seen, and I don't know, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I think this is supposed to be a year one type thing where
he's supposed to be
changing.
We got a Batman origin again. Isn't that what we wanted?
I think that it's supposed to be like that because, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the Batarang is the symbol that he's wearing.
Well, that's kind of what he's,
that's
what it looks like, but
it could be good. We don't know.
It could be a good movie, but here's the other mistake. What is when you ask what's cool about Batman, what is the first thing everybody says?
I don't know, because there's so many things there are ones people say.
He doesn't have any powers.
Yeah.
He's an ordinary. I could become Batman.
Yeah.
So, he's not invincible. And part of what makes him cool is that he's not invincible.
Yeah.
And he might have to dodge some bullets. Animated series, he dodged bullets. Batman, the Arkham games. You had some armor, and he could take a couple shots, but if you get shot too many times, you're out.
What you're saying is that he has no superpowers, so...
He's got no superpowers.
He's not Superman,
He's not Superman. And in the 89 Batman, if he took a bullet, he got knocked down.
Yeah.
we see a shot here. He's walking down the hallway. Guys have fully automatic machine guns blasting away on him. And it's just binging off like he's Iron Man. Now, Iron Man has thick armor. And in order to move, he's got, you know, stuff, gyros, whatever, that enables him to move and enhances his strength. If Batman was wearing armor capable enough of him just to be able to walk down the hall and not feel multiple bullets, he's going to be too heavy to move. It is stupid. It is ridiculous. Like, he needs to have that humanity to where he needs to, like,
I don't know.
Get around the bullets or they don't see him. Not have him. I'm walking straight up. I don't care. You're shooting me. He needs to be like, oh, you thought I was there and you fired over there. You missed me because I'm now over here behind you.
Well,
what makes Batman
until
cool.
Until I see the film, I'm not going to get upset about it.
Except for that footage right in there. I saw that and I was like, you guys don't get it. This is Batman.
That may not be real. That may be a dream. That may not be. You don't know yet till you see it. So.
Except for there's other shots where you see him glancing all kinds of bullets. There's other footage too.
Just be calm. We wait till we see it.
I have not had faith in this movie since they announced it.
Just
especially
be calm.
When they showed the image of the Batmobile. I'm not a keen on the Batmobile. It just looks like the average sports car.
Maybe. Just be calm.
The design of the Batmobile is bad. The suit doesn't look good. But the story, it looks interesting otherwise. And it might be an interesting movie, but there's so much that it seems they got wrong with this.
But just be calm. I mean, many people say the same thing about Michael Keaton.
I'm tired of them rebooting Batman. I am tired of rebooting Batman.
Do you have as far as the whisper voice, Michael Keaton's the first one did that.
Michael Keaton had to give it a great voice. He sounded very cool.
And
I didn't like Christian Bale did, but at least Christian Bale was trying to do something. But it became a kind of a joke with him by the second movie.
He went overboard. Yeah.
He went, swear to me. I mean, it worked okay in Batman Begins, but by Dark Knight, when your stance against injustice,
yeah.
It got so bad to where people were openly mocking him for it. But it looks like I probably might have fun with it, but there's stuff I see in this trailer and like,
it doesn't look that bad to me. But then again, like I said, I'm staying calm because until I see it, I've had to learn. Just be calm.
But I'm a Marvel guy, and to me, DC is too little too late. And we're going to talk about that here with some other movies. But this is Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League.
Not
a movie, it's a game.
Oh.
Still, you're good at what you do.
Now, I'm not a huge Suicide Squad fan, but anyways.
Far from good.
This could be funny, but they want so bad for this to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, they go overboard.
But I have faith in Rocksteady. They make great games.
Let me take a look at you. A muscle head. A nut job. Something that offends my eyes. And a homeless person. You're perfect.
Just checking. We're all seeing that thing, right?
This has one-way ticket written all over it.
Oi, what? What the hell have you sent us into? It's a bloody war zone out here.
Eyes up, people.
Congratulations, Task Force X. You're the first asset to make it into Metropolis alive.
I was just about to do that.
Task Force X, your new mission is to kill the Justice League.
Now, see, this is what has me interested. What happened to the Justice League where they're a threat?
Yeah. Well, that woman is always a villain, you know, so.
I have a feeling this movie's going to copyright strike me, so I'm going to cut this off right about here. Really, they're just showing a lot of cinematics. They're not showing any of the gameplay footage, so I don't know how the game's going to play. I don't know. But what gets me interested is I figure that you've got to have, and I love if they have choices. Like with Justice League members, do you kill the member of the Justice League or do you find a way to cure them? And if you have the choice and it has consequences later in the story of the game, that would be so good.
Yeah.
Of course, now me, I'm such a goody-goody. I'm going to save the Justice League.
Me too.
I'm not killing Superman.
Yeah.
No way, dude.
My problem is, this is just me personally, because I'm also what you want to call goody-goody or whatever.
Yeah, that's okay.
My problem is, for the generations now, it's better to be a villain for them.
I enjoy villains, but I enjoy kicking their butts.
I enjoy the villain characters, Riddler, Joker, Two-Face, a lot of the Marvel villains too. It's good to have good villains, but you know what I mean, to have fun villains and all that. But and this goes even to a biblical stance, you don't want to praise villainous behavior.
Right.
And to just put it easy that way, from the book of Isaiah. But you just don't want to do that.
Like the original Pirates of the Caribbean, right, was kind of it's mockish and being funny about, but the pirates are supposed to be doing bad things.
You can even make a film, and this is the truth, you can even make a film where you understand the villains. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I can understand the Joker.
What drives somebody to go that, that Joker movie was so intense.
I can even understand it, and I can even say, I feel for them.
Yeah.
But let's not justify what a villain is supposed to be doing. Like, well, I understand them, so let's just go ahead and make it to where they're the good guy and the hero's the bad guy.
I'm not saying
everyone's doing that, but a lot of the films are kind of, appears to be leaning that way, or at least the kid, because I'll be honest, kids, they don't know everything. I mean, that's why they're children. They're learning.
Yeah.
But if a film seems to be appearing to be saying that, that's something that I don't go for that all the way. Yeah. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm saying that there's things that I wish they would do just a little different. That's just my opinion.
But if you're doing the wrong things for the right reasons, you're still doing the wrong things.
That's it.
So
that's right.
That's
the only thing I ever said.
But it
Punisher.
Is interesting. Is I think
I like Punisher, but I can like when, yeah,
he's, when
still, they,
he's still doing the wrong thing for the right. Yeah. Which is why he came into the Spider-Man villain. But I would like to see an exploration of when they have a character. I would love to see them have a villain that the villain doesn't realize they're the villain.
That's it.
That would be interesting because it's like they say, you're the villain in somebody's story. They like to say that. I don't think I'm the villain in anybody's story because I'm a nice person. But somebody, but I would be interested to see somebody who is, they believe in, they're just doing their cause and they don't realize the damage they're doing. And maybe at the end, you can even have a redemption story for that villain.
They have in the new Suicide Squad. John,
I wasn't sure I wanted to watch it.
There's a lot of stuff I don't like about it, but John Cena's character, I can't remember the guy's name
Peacemaker. Which I didn't grab his trailer because he's getting a series, but I'm not interested, so I skipped.
I kind of like that he, in a way, thinks he's a good guy, even though he goes around things the wrong way. I like that, in a way, he's kind of like a Punisher in a sense that he believes he's doing the right thing, even though he's not going about it the right way.
Yeah.
But he thinks he's doing the right thing, and I kind of like that.
That's an interesting character when he's like, I'm not evil, I'm trying to do this.
And I gotta say, John Cena is the perfect choice.
He
himself, in the role that he
for
did,
that
is
role, it, I think he's
perfect
good cast,
because he's really great for that. He's perfect choice because he's got that good guy way, and yet at the same time, he can be a punk in the movies. I mean, he can be kind of overboard on ornery, we'll say ornery.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's good for that. He really is.
Yeah, and I think one of the good villains that I don't think they realized they were the bad guy was in Black Panther with the, I forgot
what's
the actor's
name. He played,
he was in the Rocky movies. He plays Creed.
Creed, yes.
He's such a good actor, but I forgot the villain's name. The villain itself.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
But he seems so justified, but he was just so... The problem with him is he had so much anger that he couldn't go of.
Yeah, he went overboard.
He went too far.
Too far.
I think that's why he kills Claw. And spoilers if you haven't seen Black Panther. The reason why he killed him is because he realized, all right, this is a bad guy. So
yeah, he jumped that line.
But he crossed the line too far. But I don't think he realized it. But I like that he almost has a redemption when he gets to see... You know, sunrise over Wakanda, because this is what you should have aimed and strove for.
It almost reminds me of a scene from Lion King where he was Scar.
Scar was flat out evil.
Oh, flat out. Scar just jumped the line, didn't give a crud. But this guy, he went a little
Scar
far.
Did it almost in the way you do in the real jungle, except for he didn't do the kill himself.
Yeah, that's right.
So very. Oh, but this I'm kind of excited for, because if you've not seen this. See if you recognize this voice once it starts.
Greetings, DC fandom.
Okay, this is not what I expected.
Ezra Miller here, live from the set of The Flash. It looks like this.
This is not the video I was looking
for. We're very excited to show you the movie.
Let me skip ahead here.
I recognized the music right away. I was like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's Ezra Miller. All right, Ezra Miller. Him as Flash is not too bad. I mean, I actually kind of like Grant Gustin better. But anyways, here's the trailer. And the music should sound familiar too, buddy.
Tell me something.
And there's the voice.
You can go anywhere you want, right? Any timeline. Any universe. Why do you want to stay
fight to save this one.
You changed the future. And you changed the past.
And it's this last shot here. You see the 89 Batman ears.
I can't wait to see that.
So, I mean, this is cool, and it's Michael Keaton.
Yes,
it's Michael Keaton, and you get to see the inside of Wayne Manor the way we remember from 89. And I love that the fact, okay, so you, at this point you see a tarp over a car, and you pull it away, and they don't show it, but you can tell from the shape of the tarp, that's the 89 Batmobile. So that's what got me interested, like, because they're doing Flashpoint.
What's good about that is you can keep certain things, for instance, the Aquaman and the Wonder Woman, we knew they were going to keep them from the...
Yeah.
But they can multiverse it. You can multiverse, and you can also keep those things, and that stuff stays. And yet, you can keep Cyborg if you want. You keep those things, and yet you can change things that people don't like. I'm sorry, Affleck fans. He's come back for this, but they're not keeping that. Now people keep saying, oh, we're going to keep that too. No, they already know they're not. And if you like Snyderverse, okay.
Those of you who thought that the Snyder Cut of the Justice League was the greatest thing ever when...
Okay, I personally do not, but that's just my opinion. But I'm not a Snyder fan, but that doesn't mean he's a bad guy, and I'm really sorry about that. Yeah. I'm so sorry about that. Yeah, but all that being said, I'm looking very much forward to seeing what they will do.
Yeah.
And mostly, and this is a selfish comment, I adore Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yes, I'm excited
and
for this.
By the way, I'm still a fan of Batman Forever. Not so much the other one. But as far as this goes, I am so looking forward to it. And I'm now reading the comic books of the ones that they've done.
I need to get a copy
and
of those.
I will at least let you borrow them, if nothing else. But that being said, maybe we'll get you a copy. But that being said, I cannot wait to see what they're going to do with these films, because it'll be great to see Keaton in that mask again. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. It's like that little 12-year-old when the first movie came out, 12 years old. I'm so excited, folks. I actually have a great big cardboard Michael Keaton on my wall, man.
Yes, you do.
I'm excited.
Yes. The only thing I will say about this is I feel a little bad for them, because them getting their multiverse kind of thing connecting together, it's going to seem like, oh, isn't that what Marvel already did?
Well,
it's a little unfair.
Flash did do it first. Yeah. So we know that.
That's the thing. And DC had a Justice League before there was an Avengers.
Uh-huh.
DC in the comics was first in all this, but they, for some reason, never thought to put it together in a cinematic universe.
In their defense.
They should have been doing this all along. Well, they had Warner Brothers in
their
pocket.
Warner Brothers, they're cowards.
They should have done it.
They're cowards. They really are. Now, I will say, in their defense, they didn't, they had no idea it would work.
Marvel proved that it works.
Well, Disney had the more of the money than Warner Brothers.
Even before Disney stepped in, you had Marvel Studios. Marvel was doing it, and Disney, when they jumped on board and bought it, because they believed in the product, and Disney had the money to make sure it happened.
Disney had the intelligence and all the people behind it to know how to do things that other people just didn't.
Well, they just let a lot of the Marvel people that were put together.
Well, what I mean is they knew. I'm talking about marketing and all that.
Oh yeah, Disney can market with the best of them.
Basically. You might not, they might have something you've never heard of. I mean, we could just make it up on the dot here, you know, October Squad or whatever, the Pumpkin Man and this
Pumpkin
that.
Head
and people all of a sudden
Candy Girl,
they market like crazy, and all of a sudden you get people, oh, I've always loved them. There is no them. It's never been around before, and people suddenly have always loved them. I've always been behind them, and I've known them since. Okay, it's never been around, but now all of a sudden people are interested. They're invested because they every time you turn on a TV show, it's commercial. Every time you pick up a cereal box, it's there. It's okay. It may cost $1 million or $2 million or whatever to commercial it, maybe more, probably a lot more. But they're going to make billions back.
Yeah.
So that's how it goes.
Now here's the thing, though. Because Marvel's, I mean, we got Spider-Man movies really diving in that multiverse hardcore, bringing back some old villains. So seems like the Flash is a little copycat diving into the 89 Batman. But here's what I want to see with the multiverse. Now we know
Disney and Warner Brothers once had some really good conversations, and as long as Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny had the same amount of lines and shared the same amount of screen time, they could share a screen together in Roger Rabbit.
I doubt it'll happen, but that would be neat.
What if a multiverse? Did you see where I'm going with this?
I would love
Disney,
it.
Marvel Studios,
Superman,
and Warner
Spider-Man,
Brothers.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yes.
A multiverse where DC and Marvel can come together and we get a Justice League Avengers crossover movie. Oh.
There was a comic book that I adored in the late 70s, and that was whenever Superman and Spider-Man met. And by the way, in that comic book, you had Hulk and Wonder Woman.
I have a giant-sized version of this, their second meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Hulk and Wonder Woman met,
oh,
too.
Oh, yes. So, I mean, this is stuff that happens in the comics. If two comic book companies can get this together, and we know that Warner Brothers and Disney can compromise and find a way for Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny to be together, can they sit down in that chair and realize, do you know how much money we can make?
It would be awesome.
Do you know a Captain America Batman movie?
Avengers and Justice League. I doubt it would happen, but that's a nice dream.
Because we got a multiverse, so these multiverses can cross over.
Remember the amalgam? Oh. I love that. That was great.
Just think of the potential if they ever do this. But anyways, we better get moving because we're supposed to be talking Halloween stuff. Now, I actually haven't watched this trailer, but I've been hearing about it. League of Super Pets.
League of Super Pets.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. Perfect. Hey! Pets. Plural. You ever heard of a league with one dude in it? I have it.
Well, they say I'm in a league of my own.
Oh, you're in a league of your own, all right. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody as messed up as you.
I recognize those voices.
Dwayne Johnson as Crypto.
Awesome.
Kevin Hart as Ace.
Awesome.
I'm not a fan of Kevin Hart.
Oh, he's nice, though.
How much did you have to drink?
John Krasinski, Diego Luna. Seeing some names. Global old trailer launch is coming November, May 20th is when that movie comes out.
That'll
now,
be fun.
Did you ever watch some of that? They had a little cartoon. It was Crypto the Super Dog,
yeah,
and they had
it.
His little friends. They had a bat dog and stuff.
Ace the Bat
and
Hound.
And yeah. And it was cute. So
yeah, I loved it.
I'm kind of looking forward to this because this could be a lot of fun.
I love the voices.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
And of course, they had to get The Rock in there.
Oh, The Rock is fun, you know.
Yes, indeed.
He's a good guy.
Which, by the way, okay, I'm going to talk about Black Adam, but there's really not any audio to play because if you hear what The Rock was saying, he cussed. So I'm not going to use it. And then they had audio for a teaser, but there really isn't any dialogue and without a context. But they showed like a group of kind of explorers kind of going into this little ruin, and somebody goes and reads some runes on the ground and says Shazam, and Black Adam appears.
Awesome.
And kills a guy. I mean, he straight up grabs one of these guys, picks him up, and turns him to ash. So Black Adam is coming soon, and it's going to be awesome. And I cannot wait until we have that Black Adam versus Team Shazam.
That'd be great.
Which, speaking of Shazam, there's another game. I'm going to jump back to it, but because I'm talking about Shazam, Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods. We don't really have a real teaser. They were more time. Oh, this might have been just showing footage. I don't know what footage I grabbed.
This is so dark. Probably would have been a good idea to have like one light on.
Okay, it's repeating or something now. This is not the footage I'm meant to grab. Is it repeating? Seriously?
Why is it so dark? Probably would have been a good idea to have like one light on.
I grabbed them from the wrong source. Okay. But I was wanting to grab where they're talking about filming it and what's going on with this movie. But I can just share that with you because, of course, Zachary Levi is back. Have you seen these new costumes?
No.
Because the one thing with the Shazam costume is it looked like it was this extra thick bulk that was on him. He looked like he was wearing too much.
Yeah, I thought
They've trimmed those down, good. Make him look good. They've upgraded the suits, and of course the entire family is back.
Good.
We've also got Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren, and they're playing, I guess, some Greek goddesses.
Good.
And they're bringing some Greek monsters into town fight with
that'd
the family.
Fun.
Don't know what they're mad about, but it's Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods.
That'll be great.
Now, what I also want to see is, and I don't remember what the character's name is, but that little evil caterpillar that we got to see a little bit in Shazam.
Oh, good.
Because he's an important character in the comics,
is.
Apparently. I need to get more of the comics because the comics
used to read
were good.
Them. I used to read them like when I was a teenager. I came across this. Remember we used to go to Packrat?
Yes.
I came across a whole bunch of them on sale for like, I think he sold them to me for like 50 cents at the time. They were like the old ones. And they got me some of the new ones too. And I read a whole bunch, but they were fun. I may have a couple of them still. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. And I like that they're doing Black Adam the way they're doing, because they're going to have a movie or so.
Build him up.
And they're going to build him up, which is good. Because The Rock is not a small actor.
No kidding.
I'm not talking in a physical sense. You've got that too.
He's a blockbuster guy now. He's the new Will Smith.
Oh, he is. He's great. He's really great. I love him. And I think they're going to do this correctly.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see this. Shazam 2, I think, is not due for until like 2023. I mean, they're working on it. Sort of like Aquaman is currently in production, Aquaman 2.
Good.
Looking forward to that as well.
And he's not your regular villain, because he's one who thinks he's a good guy.
Right.
And he's egotistical as heck.
Yes,
which
he is.
I'm not saying that about actual.
When you got that level of power, it's easy to
I'm not saying that
do.
About Rock. But I'm saying The Rock's character back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
He was egotistical.
When he played bad, when he was a heel wrestler.
Oh, he was a real heel.
Oh, he was a lovable. He was charismatic as a heel.
Oh, he's charismatic as heck.
Yeah.
But he was a heel. I mean, a jerk.
He was
a jerk. The guy himself. Yes, I'm not talking about that guy. But that character.
Yeah, as a wrestler, that's what you do.
Character.
When you're a heel, you got to be the jerk.
He was a punk. You know, he was.
Yeah, but he was so funny as a jerk.
He was. Well, I always say this about the heel wrestlers. Yeah. Hate to like them, and you love to hate them, and you hate to love them. Yeah,
yeah. And especially a good heel like Damian Sandow, back in the day.
Was great.
So yeah, the ones that
Eddie
you could
DiBiase,
entertain you. Oh yes,
yeah,
there's
Iron
been some
Sheik,
great wrestling heels. So
great,
looking forward to him as Black Adam.
Yeah,
looking forward to see what they do when they cross him over
That'll
with Shazam.
Fun. It'll be fun.
It'll be great. All right, I got another game trailer, Gotham Knights, which we know this has been coming for a while. Official Court of Owls. Story trailer. Well, Court of Owls, I guess, is maybe part of Gotham Knights. Now, the main premise of what we know about Gotham Knights is they've done in a world where Batman is dead and Commissioner Gordon apparently is dead.
Oh.
So this is a different world. This is Nightwing. It's Robin. It's Batgirl. And the Red Hood trying to save Gotham in their own way. There's not a lot of dialogue in this, but let me go ahead and play some of it. But this is not set in the Arkhamverse, because you'll notice the Penguin's voice is entirely different.
Yeah.
But you still haven't finished any Arkham games. You need to finish that.
Batman. Jim Gordon. They thought they had a handle on this city.
That's the Penguin's voice right there.
They never did.
Sounds like it's going to look for that new movie.
You don't stand a chance. Because they're always watching. Always listening. Pulling everybody's strings. Mine. Yours. But no one talks about them. Not a whispered word is said.
The Court of Owls is a myth.
They're listening.
Now, I don't think there's really much more dialogue in this. It's a lot of action shots, a lot of cinematics. They didn't really show much of the gameplay there, so I'm going to end there right there. Now, I'm not that familiar with the Court of Owls. That's been a fairly recent, within the last, I think, 5 years, concept they've had where the Court of Owls is like this underground evil conspiracy group that's just controlling everything in Gotham. So this will be exciting to see them brought forth in a game. So looking forward to see what comes through with that. But there's a little bit of Aquaman too, but really they're just talking about they're making it. So other things that though I did learn from the fandom, we've got a Catwoman animated movie that looks very fun in style coming.
Very brilliant, because when they were bringing out Batman Returns, this is years ago, 1992, I was just 15 when it came out. And
that was
I remember
a long time ago.
I mean,
92.
But I think whenever they started bringing out the comic books and all, they were very brilliant, because what they would do is they would bring out a comic. They did the same thing in 95 and all for Riddler and Two-Face and all. They would bring out comic book series and all, kind of building up the characters. And they did that for Penguin. They did it for Catwoman. They'd want you to know about these characters that they were letting you know about before the film. And it sounds to me like they're doing that same thing here for these characters before the movies come out. Now, what they have, they didn't have then. They get to bring out these movies, these films. They didn't have that then. And so that's very, very wise, I think. But one thing that they did do, they had, and I'll have to give credit to this, Paul Dini, love you. But you had Batman, the animated series. So right after, they didn't have that for the first film. So right after Batman Returns, we're talking just months after, you had Batman, the animated series, yeah. Which is why the Penguin got to have that look.
That yep. Danny DeVito, he had the flippers.
But yet, and he had the nose and the hair.
Yeah.
But yet, what they did that was so much wiser, and I think even the film, even though I like Batman Returns, but I think it was smart that he was still kind of more refined.
Yeah, he was more of the comic book Penguin.
Yes.
And he just looked a little like Danny DeVito.
Which was cool. Yeah. I thought they did a good job with that.
Yeah. But we've got some bunch of animated movies. So we have that Catwoman.
Awesome.
And she's going to be teaming up with Batwoman.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
So we've also got Super Sons, I think they're calling it. We've got Damian Wayne as Robin.
Cool.
With, which the now controversial, I suppose, John Kent.
John Kent, yeah. Jonathan Kent, yeah.
Yeah. No, not Jonathan, John.
Oh, John.
You know, Jonathan Kent is dead. This is his name for him. Yes. He probably, his full name is probably Jonathan, but he goes by John.
Yeah,
but
you have
John Kent, which is Clark's son. Lewis and Clark's son.
Yeah.
They're going to have an animated feature. But, you know, the DC animated universe is, I mean, it's not a connected universe, but those animated movies are really good.
They do a good job, yeah.
They really do a good job of those. So when they announce some new animated stuff, I got to say, check it out. And if you have HBO Max, you got to access to a lot of them. And they've even got the Long Halloween available for you now.
Oh, which is fun.
Which is, yeah, it's, I want to reread the Long Halloween because I think they did
change things
a lot.
I must say.
But I did enjoy it.
Not disrespect to the artist of the comic book. Not my style of art. A little too. And I'm an artist.
I liked it. That's Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale as writers.
And
they also did that Spider-Man Blue, which I really enjoy.
I think they did a better job in the films because that would be hard to animate.
Yeah.
So they did a good job at making it similar.
But different, yeah.
And yet a little smoother, so which I thought was
that
good.
Superman All-Stars, how they kind of got some of the style of the artwork of that special comic, but then they animated it.
Which was very smart. Yeah. They try to do that. And I like how they do it with a bit of respect.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah. But we need to move on because this is a Halloween episode.
Sure.
And you know what? We've got a movie to review.
Mom,
that's not the right button. Fuzzball. Okay. That's not the right button either. See, the joke's on you because I still don't have a button for movie reviews. I need to make a movie review thing. I keep talking about it every time, but I never do it. So that's why I was actually playing around with the buttons. But we actually have a movie to review. But I mean, this is not a movie you're going to go out and see in theaters, but you can purchase it if you have a Vudu or a digital account. And apparently there's a Blu-ray if you can buy online. But I bought it, I think, $9.99 for a digital copy. Mad Monster Party. This is a Rankin Bass. They made Halloween movies. And they've done, when I was looking this up, there are two because there's Mad Monsters. And I think that's the only two. And you were looking that up. And Mad Monsters was made in 1972. Mad Monster Party was 1967. So they are separate stories entirely.
Yes.
But they're kind of in with the whole madness, I guess. But Mad Monsters was done. If you've ever seen Rankin Bass, when they do their 2D animation at that time, how it looked, it's very much stylized like that.
Yes.
Very different from what they did when they started doing Thundercats later. But
sure.
The Mad Monster Party is good old fashioned stop motion puppets.
I was going to say, I didn't think about it the other day when we were watching it, but I thought about it since then. I think, I don't remember if it was yesterday or what. I recognized those. I almost said toys. I guess they are in a way dolls, you know. But I suddenly realized that they looked very familiar to me, and I had seen it before, but it had been a while. Later on, maybe a couple of years later, 72, 73, 74, whatever year it was made, in Peter Cottontail, that whenever he goes back in time or whatever it is to the calendar or whatever, of course, it really doesn't make sense because it's supposed to be that it goes back, but in reality, they already know what's going on. It doesn't make any sense if you think about it. But when they go through with some of those same things like the Dracula, either it's his different one that looks identical, or they use the exact same, probably did use the same ones, same doll, same ghost, same whatever.
Could have been.
I don't think they used the Phyllis Diller one. But they used
Because that Phyllis Diller, that was definitely a Phyllis Diller puppet.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like her. But Rankin Bass was so good about that, about making puppets that look like their special guest.
Because in that Peter Cottontail one, you have Danny Kaye. There's no doubt that that's Danny Kaye.
Yes.
But anyway.
They're so good at that.
They had, in that, you have a lot of the same haunted characters.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think that they're supposed to be those characters, but it is. It's Dracula. It's Ghosts. So they're used
and
again.
I do wonder, you know, looking at this picture of Boris Karloff, I think they did a good job with Boris Karloff plays Baron Boris von Frankenstein. They kind of made it look like Boris Karloff too.
It's him.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other person who can sound like it. I mean, it's they get a great job.
I don't believe they actually, because I think it's an impersonation of Peter Lorre. They did make, of course, that puppet that looked like Peter Lorre.
I mean, it would be as if you hired someone from Saturday Night Live to do their best. It's kind of like when you had I can't even think of his name right now, but when you had someone who tried to sound like Frank Sinatra and they did their very, very best and they dressed like and put on hair. It's so close.
It'd be close, but it wouldn't be quite the same.
No.
But this was a story by Arthur Rankin Jr., as most of them were. The screenplay was written by Len Korobkin and Harvey Kurtzman, of course, directed by Jules Bast. Bass. You got Boris Karloff in there, as we said, Baron Boris von Frankenstein. Alan Swift is, oh my goodness, Felix Flanken, Yetch, Dracula. Yes. Yeah, Yetch was the guy that was the Peter Lorre. Invisible Man, which I love how they did the Invisible Man.
Oh, that was great.
How they managed to do that as a puppet.
Do you remember? Because it was great animation.
It was brilliant.
Sometimes you see those, fishing wire or whatever, the string.
Yeah. You don't see any string or anything. It's not like they had a computer to remove it.
I love
it.
Not that I want to ruin anything.
Because he'd be like a pair of glasses and a hat walking, bouncing around, like just walking.
I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but I got to say, my favorite part of the whole thing was when they threw a pot.
And you
see this great big nose, and he goes, "Oh, you're ugly.
No wonder you're invisible. Yes, you're ugly.
Yeah.
No wonder you're invisible."
That was hilarious.
Yes. But he's also Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Cool.
Chef Machiavelli, which that was a funny name.
Yes, and I love the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yes, that was so much fun.
Transition.
He was the voice of Captain, First Mate, Mr. Cronkite, Mailman, and the Monster, also known as Fang.
Why didn't they just have who he wasn't, would have gone quicker.
Yeah, he's pretty much most of the voice, except for Gail Garnett is Francesca.
Yes.
Which she's had to have been an inspiration for Jessica Rabbit.
It was so close. And
her features were so out of proportion that I don't know how the puppet stood up.
Yeah, that had to be strange or something.
Then we mentioned Phyllis Diller, and she just known as the Monster's Mate.
She was great.
Because she's Phyllis Diller, she's
great.
We
love Phyllis Diller.
And then Ethel Enos was the title song singer.
Now, who did the... Now, maybe you already mentioned it. I just didn't remember his name. Hmm. Who was the guy who did the main character, I can't think of his name, the nephew or whatever?
Alan Swift. Wasn't one of these other actors, it's Alan Swift. That guy was amazing. He was Felix Flanken.
Felix Flanken
was the name of him.
He was basically sounding like a Jimmy Stewart impersonation.
Yes! He was a Jimmy Stewart completely ripped off.
Well, it's kind of like on the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, you had, in reality, we're being serious here, they did these voices that were to sound like celebrities in a sense. To be truthful, and people probably wouldn't recognize this now, but I mean, we even have a Huckleberry Hound to sound like Andy Griffith during the comedian days, and that's just how they did. Or you even had I can't remember the name of the Daddy Dog and whatever the
Algie Doggy and Doggy Daggy.
Doggy Daddy. Daddy.
Yeah,
and that was to sound like that. What's his name? Jimmy Durant.
Son of mine.
Yeah. Oh boy, son of mine. Oh father. You know, you had that was definitely, it was great.
Yeah,
I loved how they did that.
It was good stuff. But we want to focus here because we're trying to talk scary things. But yeah, you know, Hanna-Barbera did the same thing, but all the celebrity impersonations they would do.
It was the Mad Monster Party. I wish I hadn't been so tired, but it was a lot of fun.
You were tired. My goodness. It was past my bedtime. We were trying to watch this. I got to adjust my biological clock.
King Kong type of
character. Well, don't spoil the end.
No, I say he's surprise. Like a big monster.
Guy. By the end, it's like surprisingly, suddenly there's a giant gorilla. But all right. So to kind of just touch on what the story is here is you have Felix Flanken suddenly receives an invitation from his uncle, Boris von Frankenstein, because Boris von Frankenstein has a new invention where he can make, basically he's making a bomb. He's making matter disappear. It's like it's exploding. And so he wants to show it off to all of his monster friends. And he even invites he wants to pass it on to his nephew, Felix Flanken, the pharmacist.
Well, I'll try, but.
And he's excited to come because Felix thinks he's going to a tropical island in the Caribbean. And he's going to this, actually a spooky island with a big castle. And he doesn't seem to realize realize that he's surrounded by monsters. But Hotel Transylvania totally ripped them off.
Yeah.
Big time.
Well, because
they're having a party with monsters. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're having a party because they're celebrating this new invention they're all going to get to see. And the monsters all want to be the ones to inherit the scientific knowledge and the know-how of
in the
Dr.
castle.
Frankenstein.
And they're trying to kill Felix.
And they start trying to kill Felix. Even Francesca is trying to kill him, but I won't want to ruin what happened. It changes later. But.
And they then start trying to turn on one another. It's just so funny. It's like they're monsters.
And the jokes are corny as heck. So much fun.
Yeah.
It's one of those things you don't roll your eyes so much as you, because you can't help but giggle a little bit. Even if you're tired, you're like, oh, I get it.
And even some of the
food dishes that Chef Machiavelli is making. And a lot of even the names of some of the characters, I mean, they're just flat out jokes.
Yeah. I mean, and you're just like, oh, God.
They're just jokes. And there's even a surprise there at the end that I thought was kind of fun. But I don't know if any of these characters come back in the second one. But I thoroughly enjoyed this. If you can track this down, and it's not, like I said, I got it on Vudu. For $9.99 for a digital high definition copy. I haven't got to show it to my wife yet. She's going to get a kick out of this.
It's goofy as heck.
It is. It's so much fun.
But and you know, I
it's Rankin Bass doing monsters.
I enjoyed, but back then they just went all for it.
And they had fun.
It's cornball, but the jokes are cornball. But they went for accents sometimes that some people may even find offensive. When I say that, I'm not justifying
and
all that.
And nobody's trying to be offensive.
No,
they're just
not.
Trying to do a character.
Yeah, exactly. They're Italian accents or whatever. And it's not like they're making fun. But what I mean to say is some people get offended. It might be too easily. But because...
It's a whole other issue.
It's a whole other thing. But my whole point is in this situation... just watch and have a good time.
Yes,
just for fun. There is a what I like about these types of shows is back in the day, I liked whenever you could just go to have a fun fantasy, whatever, for just a half an hour or 43 minutes, depending on how you watch it. With commercials, you know, it's a little longer. But when you do that, it's just to get out and have fun, and no one's trying to offend, and no one's. It's just basically, hey, let's get out of the world for a little while.
Yeah, let's have some fun with some monsters.
Yeah,
creature from the Black Lagoon. There's not a listed voice for him though.
And I love that about Rankin Bass. They knew how to kind of get you out of the world for a while
and just have some fun.
They were great at that.
Just have some fun.
I love Rankin Bass. I always will. They're part of our not just ours, but really, I'd say almost at least in America, all of our lives. They whether it be whatever holiday, they had it.
They did it. They made something with it. Yes, indeed.
I mean, I'm surprised they didn't do something for every single holiday if they didn't.
Well, I think that, don't they? They have a Leprechaun's Gold, or they have it because they have a St. Patrick's thing, which I think I watched last year because I actually have that now.
We was talking a while ago about Peter Cottontail.
Mm-hmm.
That covers just about every holiday on that one special.
It kind of does.
I almost think that was their whole intent was, let's see, we're going to cover Easter, except we won't talk about Jesus on that, but we'll talk about everything else on there.
And there's like even a 4th of July thing?
There is even.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've watched that one.
Yeah, that one has
They
everything.
Even did have a Groundhog Day bit there for Jack Frost.
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely.
Which is weird because you have Jack Frost and he's such a lovable character, and then they make him a villain in Frosty 2, you know?
And that's got Andy Griffith.
Yes. And it drew him, they drew Andy Griffith in. It's so great.
And I love it. And that helped me to learn how to draw him.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
We're talking about the monster stuff.
Well, we're going back to that.
Yeah. This is Halloween time. We're supposed to be talking about scary things.
They cover just about every holiday, not even the official ones, including Halloween. And I think they did a good job.
Yes, they did. But now I'm going to hop over because we know, all right, so the Mad Monster Party, which we enjoyed, but Mad Monsters apparently deals with the wedding. I mean, so it's not connected into the storyline before because we have a bride already in there, and it's Phyllis Diller. And this was an episode of the ABC Saturday Superstar Movie.
Yes.
It is, and they're putting it in quotes on Wikipedia, related to the 1967 Mad Monster Party. But this is after Baron Henry von Frankenstein, so see, it's a different Baron. Yeah. It's not Boris. Which, of course, they named him Boris because it was Boris Karloff.
Yes. I mean,
he creates a bride for his master. He decides to make arrangements for a lavish wedding at the Transylvania Astoria Hotel. Hotel Transylvania.
Yep.
Henry's assistant, Igor, is jealous of the monster and wants the bride for his own, much to the annoyance of Henry. Now, I won't read the entire plot because I haven't seen this. This one's only 43 minutes, so the other one was like an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah, the other one was
Mad Monster Party was long. This is only 43 minutes long. And of course, they left some time for some commercials. Yeah. I might even look to see if I can get a digital copy and watch
it. It seemed
this
like
one.
There was another one that had Mad, Mad, Mad on it because I looked it up. And
but I don't think it was them because no. I only found two listings that were actually Rankin Bass.
And maybe I didn't know what it was. But it looked like it was another holiday. It was Mad, Mad, Mad something, and I don't know what it was too.
I don't know, but I found the Mad Monster Party and Mad, Mad, Mad Monsters.
Yeah.
And which Mad, Mad, Mad Monsters, I can't give the full recommendation because we haven't watched it, but I'm sure it's fun.
We watched
it's Rankin Bass.
Yeah,
it's a little bit in the car. You managed to find it on your phone, but I'm going to see if I can watch the whole thing at some point. I bet I can find a digital copy on Vudu. I might have to look it up.
It was goofy what I saw of it, but it was fun.
Yeah, because it's Rankin Bass. Yeah. And Rankin Bass always, Rankin Bass is quality.
Yeah.
Great animation, great fun. And so Mad Monster Party, definitely, you know, I know you can get this on Vudu. You can buy a digital copy. You can also buy a Blu-ray if you order online through Best Buy. Which I didn't have time to wait for it. I wanted to watch it, so I got a digital copy only. It was so much fun, and like I said, such corny, and it's a great way to just have some monster fun that your kids can sit and watch, and it's not scary.
I see that Funko actually made some toys of Mad, Mad Monsters.
Oh!
Mad, Mad, Mad Monsters.
Oh!
I saw just now. I didn't expect that, but it came up just now.
Oh, yeah. Those would be fun.
Yeah, little figures and such. How much fun is that?
Little Funko figures of Fang and everybody.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think we better wrap this up. This wasn't the most Halloween of episodes because there was so much DC, so all you comic book fans got a bunch of fun.
Oh, it's Mad Monsters Party is what it is, actually.
Oh, Mad Monster. Oh, and they got... those look just like the puppets.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Although I think they did try to reduce things on Francesca to make her balance a
little more balanced.
Because it is ridiculous. It was funny, though. But yeah, so we, of course, want to go through and I want to thank all the people that helped me out with making the intro, like Karen Kennedy,
sure.
Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Willhite of the Willow Height and Wall Radio Show. Don't forget to email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast. We're on Facebook. We have both a fan page for you to like and a group for you to interact with. Please do leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492. And don't forget, if you go to neverlandpodcast.com, right there on the front page, you can find my podcast reviews. If you happen to have a podcast and you want to be able to look at your reviews from all around the world, from all the different sources of where reviews are left, it is for just an inexpensive yearly fee. You can get your reviews emailed to you. But until we meet again, get lost in an adventure.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.